It's come down to this. 100 laps, 5 to go. At the line, 5 cars nose to tail heading down into turn number 1. It's anybody's race.
Inside Florida Racing.
It's definitely crunch time. Somebody's going to have to make a move. 3 laps to go as they cross the start-finish line. Going down into turn number 1, they start to fan out. Coming off a 2, they're side-by-side down the back straightaway.
Inside Florida Racing.
That's it. Coming off a turn 4, white flag in the air. Checkers and wreckers, anybody's race as they go down to turn number 1. They fan out 2 by 2, 3 wide coming off of turn number 2. They get sideways down the back straightaway. Someone breaks loose to the top, trying to make the run up on the high side. Going to do it the hard way around. Coming around 4, there's still 2 by 2. 3 cars drop back. It's 1 car coming out sideways. Who's on the inside? Coming to the line. It's anybody's race.
Inside Florida Racing.
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 Okay, Inside Florida Racing. You got me, Bonehead, here, Rob Elting, hanging out in the studio with Jack Smith. He's here with me, taking care of the controls, and we've got a great show planned for you. Sorry about the abrupt coming on there and the delay. CeCe is not in the house. CeCe Brooks is not in the house with us today. She is on a slight little mini vacation. And, boy, I'd like to take a little mini vacation. Actually, I just did. What am I talking about? Took a week off a couple weeks ago and got married.
I'm ready to take one right now.
Yeah. You know, big show tonight. We've got a couple hours here to mull over who's going to be the Pandora Jewelers Inside Florida Racing, Real Racing USA Driver of the Month for April.
A lot more response this month. A lot more response. People picking up on this whole deal. This pretty big deal.
Yes, and the media, too. I appreciate all the folks that have helped out and compiling all this information. And like Jack said, you know, if you guys keep letting us know, then we know who these folks are. And we've done a little digging of our own. And we found some drivers. And now we're going to make the announcement tonight at the end of the show, obviously, of who the winner's going to be. But we've got some finalists here I can go over with you. Hope I get the names right. I hope that they're listening out there. And if they're not, maybe they'll catch it on the replay. Jessica Ostrovokis, hope I got that right. First one off the bat. Magic Fours at DeSoto Speedway with her performance. And if you'd like to check out their performance, I'm going to give the Speedways out. And you too can check out the Speedway's websites, and you can see the finishes of these folks. Some of them are tremendous. We won't go over the finishes of all of them. We will go over the finishes of our winner, final winner that we have later on. Gregory Crum, Street Stocks, DeSoto Speedway. Clint Foley, Sportsman, Citrus County Speedway. Tim Wilson, Pure Stock. George Newman, Mini Stocks. James Seeley, V8 Thunder Stocks at Ocala Speedway. The other guys that I just mentioned there, Foley, Wilson, Newman, all from Citrus County Speedway. Seeley from Ocala Speedway and the V8 Thunder Stocks. Randy Kyle in the Thunder Trucks, Charlotte County Speedway. These are all finalists that I'm reading off for our April Driver of the Month. Donnie Williams, Sportsman, New Smyrna Speedway. Jeff Prescott, Sportsman Class, Columbia Motorsports Park. AC Morrow, V8 Bombers, Columbia Motorsports Park. Jamie Carter, Modifieds, Volusia County Speedway. Charlie Statz.
Wayne Jefferson.
Mini Stock Class, hold on, Volusia Speedway. There we go, Wayne Jefferson.
He's going to be on with us later tonight, Jefferson.
Is he? Yes, he got the last win there of the Extreme Modifieds there in Lakeland. We're going to talk about that later. He was one of the finalists for the month of April. And had no bearing on anything that he did on over the weekend, which we'll talk about later. Patrick Thomas, Southern Modified Sportsman. By the way, Wayne Jefferson raced at Charlotte and DeSoto. Buzzy Rudiman, Modifieds at East Bay. Wayne Morris, Sportsman, Modifieds, Charlotte and Auburndale and DeSoto. He raced quite a bit. And, of course, Rex Hollinger, Orlando and New Smyrna.
And those are just people that's not all the people we considered.
No.
30 more people that were really considered, but
this is a narrow list, like a funneled down list of finalists.
And we're going to come back to that, but I'll tell you, Rob, we have a guest on the line with us right now, Let me put my
Yeah, why don't you put your headset
on? I knew something was wrong there. Doing too many things, so I forgot to put my headset on. We have with us Billy Osborne from formerly of a lot of places. Billy, welcome back to Inside Florida Racing. Now, I know you got a show to do trackside tonight, and you got another interview I think you're going to do tonight. But you got some exciting news, man. What's happening?
What's going on, man? What are you guys doing in there?
I'm telling you, it's going.
Sitting there killing time, or what are you doing here?
Yeah, we don't know what we're doing. Actually, we were just going over all these drivers for the who are in the running for the Pandora Jewelers Driver of the Month deal. And
I called the tail end of that. Is Charlie Statt still in the running? Did he make the cut?
He's in the final 16. Yeah,
Charlie Statt won again Saturday night.
Yeah,
he actually didn't take the checkered. Benita Alman took the checkered, and after being in the teardown area, Benita decided not to tear down the car, and that gave the win to Charlie. So at the racetrack, we tore him down, which is the second time in 3 weeks we've looked at him, and he was bone stock legal, which means that's three in a row, and I think he's won four out of the last five.
Yeah, he's definitely
on a tear, man.
Definitely one of the finalists here that we just listed off, and you know, it was a tough competition with all these folks with all the wins that they have created for themselves. And we didn't take anything in May in consideration. And it's so funny, if you look at this list that we just read off, most of these guys won the first week in May. Too.
Half of the guys we were considering in April, and the same thing happened last month, too. You know, when we started off with this, Billy, we didn't have any idea. I mean, there's about... You know, we consult with a lot of people, but this is not so easy to do.
Hey, I want to know how come I couldn't be one of the judges, man.
Well, you are.
I wouldn't be biased and vote for my guy, man, because I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of good racers in the state of Florida.
Well, I think everybody is not really a judge, but everybody is a nominator out there.
We have the media. Actually, the way this whole thing works is... this isn't like really a fan favorite deal, you know. It's like a media deal. It's like
that's cool.
You know, I mean, that's really how it is. And we get the input from like people like yourself and Joe and Dave Westerman and the guys around that do the media and do write race stories and do the announcing and promote racetracks.
Yeah, you know, we challenge anybody to take these names of, like, these drivers. These are the finalists. One of these is going to win. And then look at all their stats, every one of them. And you know what, though? I will say this. We do have a clear-cut winner this month. I'm going to say that. And I think it's all going to come out once we once we bring it out. I think everybody will agree that, man,
one of these
that
weeks,
was a lot of races.
I know, Billy, one of these months we'll lay an egg, though. People will go, what, him?
Yeah. Well, So are you announcing the winner tomorrow night?
No, we're announcing it tonight towards the end of this show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and we'll have the
I could be able to look it up when I get home, because I'm going to be doing...
Yeah.
You know, and this is another thing. I wanted you guys to know. I mean, I know we're on the air, but I want you guys to know. But see, you guys don't want me to break my announcement on your show. What's that do for my... I mean, come on now.
How bad is that, huh?
I mean,
we're worse than Fox and CNN, aren't we?
Listen, we have our six listeners, and you have yours.
No. He's breaking announcement about his own deal, and here we are trying to get him to break it on our show.
I think he should. That would be the stand-up thing to do. We would do that for you.
I'm supposed to make the announcement on my show tonight, and then I see that I'm supposed to make it on your show tonight, too, and I'm like, my show don't start till 8. Their show starts at 7. I'm going to lose out on this deal.
Well, you know, maybe
you'll get to do it twice.
Yeah,
that's good.
I mean that. Hey, that's wrong, fellas. That's wrong,
I'll tell you what, man. I went up to.
I will tell you that.
Go ahead.
My announcement is a pretty big. It's not as big as the last announcement I made, but I think it's going to last a whole lot longer than I made.
It's a little more sounder investment, huh?
Yeah, my announcement involves another dirt track in the state of Florida that I'll be working at starting this weekend. But I'm not giving up my job at Volusia Speedway Park, so I'll be working there too, so everybody can pretty much figure out what's going to happen. It's a Friday night gig, and I'm keeping my Saturday night gig, and it's a pretty big deal for me, and I'm real excited about it, and I think it's going to be good for both sides. It's going to be good for me, and I think it's going to be good for the people at this particular facility, and if you're tired of guessing what it is, it's Ocala Speedway. I'll be the new race director at Ocala Speedway.
All right.
Friday night. So,
all right.
There you guys go. I broke it to you guys before my guys, and now you know what's going to happen when I get to the studio tonight. This is what's going to happen. Randy and Joe is going to be sent out the door going, you can't come in with us tonight. You're no good to us. You know? Actually working on a thing right now trying to get Shannon Babb on our show tonight.
Oh, that's cool.
All show Saturday night, and then if we can get hooked up with Shannon, he's told us that he might could help us get hooked to Clint Boyer, so he's trying to get them both on the show tonight.
Oh, that'd be great, man.
That would be huge.
Yeah, that's
good.
No wonder you broke the other information. You got that going.
You know, the thing is I want people to understand one thing, and I mean, I'm sure that there's people in Ocala that are listening, and I'm sure there's probably people that work at Ocala that are listening, and this is something that me and Mike have been working on for around 3 weeks or so, and I think it's going to be good for everybody. I mean, I think the place is going spectacular. I mean, it's like the 4th of July when the fireworks start going off. You don't know what's coming next, you know. And like I told Mike, he's got everything going in the right direction, and without a doubt, this is not a bandwagon move for me. I had actually talked to Mike in the beginning about maybe doing something with him, but I think he didn't want me to jeopardize what I had at Volusia, and I don't think he wanted to step on their toes in any way, shape, or form. And now we've kind of come together, and he realizes that I can help him, and he can help me, you know. And it'll be one of them situations where, like I said, I think it'll be good for me, and mostly be good for him, and mostly be good for the facility there, and all the racers, and all the faculty, you know, all the facility people there, and all his employees. I think it'll be good for everybody, and I think it'll be. But not a move in the right direction, because he's already going the right direction. It just helps us get a little more going in the direction that he's going in, if you can understand what I'm saying.
Oh, absolutely. Now, you've been a race director before, right?
I am the race director right this minute at Volusia.
Oh, okay. That's your new game. Okay. So what at a dirt track, I know there's got to be some things that are different, but what is the toughest parts of that job?
A lot of people don't understand, but in dirt racing, you're going to have two guys that are going to get together. That's just the nature of dirt. I mean, they're going to drive off in the corner, and they're going to slide up and touch each other. And you just got to know the difference of what you think is on purpose and what you think is accidental. You know, that's things that you have to just try to keep an eye on. And you know, and I think the dirt racing deal, you get a few more cars than what you get on the asphalt mentality. So when you get the dirt racing going, you're going to have more cars. So you kind of got to stay with it, stay going. You know, in the same way, too, in dirt racing, you're going to see three and four wide racing. So you have to be more prepared for expect the unexpected is what I'm trying to say. I mean, the three guys could be battling for the lead, and next thing you know, all three of them could be in the fence. So not only do you have to be the one to make the call of what happens next, but you also have to be the one to keep them from all being on top of each other, fighting and stuff, because accidents do happen.
Absolutely. If they're not banging, man, you ain't got nothing going on.
And they got some big classes there in Ocala, you know that? V8 Thunderstock Classic got full fields every time they're racing, so somebody's getting their feelings hurt, I'm sure.
Well, you know, that's the whole deal, and some of that, sometimes when you get that, you know, people have to understand that in racing, if somebody's going to wreck you intentionally, they're not going to just turn you around. They're going to wreck you where a tow truck is going to have to hook to you, and you understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
So they come to you all the time in dirt racing and say, so-and-so wrecked me. No, if he wrecked you, I'll be towing you off of the tow truck. Instead, I'm putting you to the back with him. You know, and that's what people have to understand, and I think that's what's going on.
Yeah.
I've been working at Volusia Speedway Park for 10 years. So, you know, it's one of them deals where it's not new to me. I've been race directing for him for 2 years now, flagging and race directing at the same time. So, you know, I think it's one of them deals where I know Mike, and it might not be anything 5 or 6 years down the road. I mean, I'm just trying to help him get going on the right foot here, which he's already on the right foot. Anybody who knows Mike Peters in the Florida Stock Car Racing, he's one of the best track owners that I've actually been accustomed to be friends with and hang out with. You know, but he's dirt racing is new to him, so it's going to be tough for him in the beginning, which it has been. But then again, he realizes too. Look at your car counts way up. And your crowd counts way up. People like to see side-by-side racing, and that's not going to change. Everything's going to be the same, but, you know, I think I can help get a few more cars there, and like I said, I think it'll be good for everybody.
That's very cool, man. And now, every Monday night at 8 o'clock, you guys do Trackside Tonight. You've been doing that for a while, And, you know, hey, Rob, you know, it's not every race director who's also a media guy. Those two things don't match up too often.
Well, it might help him be a better race director to also understand, you know, the fans' point of view of it. Which, you know, media is a big fan, usually.
Well, honestly, to be honest with you, I do. I try to look at the racing in three ways on Saturday night. And the first way is look at it from the racer's standpoint. They want you to be fair to them, okay? But then again, you got to look at it from the spectator standpoint. They want to see a good show for their money. And then you have to look at it from an official standpoint. We have to be kind of biased because we need it to be good for both sides, because we need the fans to be there every week, and we need the racers to be there every week. So, you know, as far as, like, working on and helping things, you know, you can be friends with everybody in the grandstand, and you can also be friends with everybody in the pit area. You know, because 9 times out of 10, they don't meet in the front straightaway. You know, who walks across the straightaway is me, you know, walking back and forth. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
In that scenario, what I'm saying is, if once you become an official at a racetrack, everything changes. My brother is a racer, and a couple years ago when I was at Putnam, I took my brother, and he worked with me, and I said, put this headset on, and that way you can learn what I can walk through. And that night when it was over, he goes, man, that's a whole different side. He said, I won't cuss at another official. And that's what he said to me. I tell the racers all the time, if you want to do the job that I'm doing, you're more than welcome to. You can come stand beside me every Saturday night, and I'll hand you the radio, and you can do the job. But I bet you don't make it to the halfway flag. You know, because when two guys get together, they automatically see it different. You know why? Because the guy that got spun out, with him being a racer, he's going to say, no, I'm supposed to get my spot back. No, and that's not fair, because that's protected one guy. And you can't protect anybody. You know, because how do you know that guy's not blocking everybody behind him, so everybody behind him can turn him around and go to the back? And that's what people don't understand. And I think, you know, that's one of the things that I say about dirt racing. I think, like Wayne Anderson said last Monday night, the people that are around the dirt track is a whole different atmosphere than what's around asphalt.
Yep.
You know, you see somebody wreck somebody on asphalt, they start swinging and fighting. And you can't, I mean, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying anything bad about asphalt racing. I'm just saying I don't go to it.
No, you got the dirt guys just throw some steering wheels every now and then.
Every once in a while, throw a helmet
and beat up an official. You know, rough up an official, just bear hug an official. I think it's all good for sure, man. It's the dirt racing that's going on in Florida right now is exciting. I'd put it up against any of these asphalt tracks in the race. I mean, you're on the edge of your seat the whole time, and just like you said, the drivers are very understanding of getting turned around and getting run into until somebody just does something that's just plain stupid, you know, and that's what causes problems.
That's exactly right, you know, and that's one of the reasons why I'm a lot excited. I'm really excited about Friday night. I grew up in Gainesville. I was born and raised in Gainesville, so I used to go to Ocala when it was dirt when I was a kid.
Oh, that's cool.
And I enjoy the place. And you know, after going, like I said, I've been there 3 times now and sat down and talked to Mike 3 times. And all 3 times I've learned something new from Mike. And we kind of adapt to each other. And you know, Mike is one of them guys that he owns the place, and now he's promoting the place, and he seems like he's race directing the place. And you know, like I know, no matter what you think, you can't do all 3 jobs and be successful at all 3. You're either going to be successful at being the owner, are you going to be successful at being the promoter? Are you going to be successful being the race director? And to be honest with you, there's one job that you have to do, and that's own the place, because you need to walk around and tell your sponsors thanks for coming, tell your fans thanks for coming, because sooner or later they're not going to be there.
Right.
And I think Mike understands. And I mean, me and Mike sit down. This is something we've done together, and I think it's going to be, like I said, I think it's going to be good for everybody. Like I said, I'm sure that some of the officials are listening. I'm sure some of the people that are affiliated with Ocala Speedway are listening. And some of us probably sitting there biting their fingernails right now, and they're probably not happy about it. But, hey, I'm not coming there to clean house. I'm not coming there to change anything. I'm coming there to try to help them make it better, you know. And not that it needs to be much better than it is right now, but it just needs a little bit of leadership and a little bit of a sense of right direction.
Hey, I understand your nickname's Billy the Kid now. It ain't Billy...
Badass.
Hey,
you can't be Billy Badass. You got to be Billy the Kid.
Hey, but you know, Billy the Kid stood him up and stood him down.
Yeah, but you know what happened to Billy the Kid, don't you?
You ever seen the movie that tells the story of the last one?
Oh, okay. I missed that.
You ever seen that? Now, hold on a second now before you start shooting.
Nah, I must have missed that one.
Realize that Billy the Kid was pretty quick with the gun, son.
That's right. I'll tell you what, man, we'll catch up there, Ocala. You got a big race coming up there in the beginning of June, man, with the Powell Memorial on dirt. It should be spectacular.
The Fowl Memorial is going to be superb this year.
Oh, man.
Like I told Mike, I mean, some of the guys that I think that might not have been going to go before, I think a lot of them will go. I think as long as you talk them and push them, it'll go. I think the Fowl Memorial is going to be huge, and I think it's going to be a good thing for the state of Florida. It's going to be a good thing for Ocala Speedway for sure.
Absolutely, man. Well, you guys go have fun. I hope you get Shannon on tonight. I'll check out your show later tonight.
Thanks a lot, man.
All right.
Good luck.
Now, tonight, when it's just Joe and Randy there, you'll know why, because they're going to make me stand up. You already broke the news. You hear Joe in the back.
I hear him.
Hey, you guys have a good night. Thanks for having me on, and come see me at Ocala Speedway on Friday or Volusia Thruway Park on Saturday.
All right, man. Thank you.
Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
All right, Billy Osborne from Volusia, and now Volusia and Ocala.
Yeah. They're going to talk to Shannon Babb. Maybe they'll talk to Clint Boyer, and maybe they'll figure out what the whole deal was there.
I'll tell you what, man. I just had a thought. Why don't you go a little bit more into this Driver of the Month deal there? How this process works and how it's been hard, man.
Well, you know, all I can say is, like we said before, you know, getting on and posting on there. I posted something, and Carol's posted things. We've all been posting for people to give us their input, and along with our media channels that we have, and promoters at tracks, and just pure finishes. Okay, it's very simple when you look at the finishes and the results during the month of April. Was a strange month that some tracks, they only got 2 weeks to race, some classes to do these, and other tracks had three. Most all of them only had three, all got rained out pretty much 1 week out of April. So standing out, you know, and getting three wins was tough. And, man, all those folks that were the finalists that we named off were all pretty much three-time
I got
to
tell you,
so.
Too, somebody on the message board, I don't remember who it was, but somebody, it doesn't matter who, somebody on the Real Racing USA Karnak message board over there made some comment about how did Bone Man get on the final list there. Well, I'm going to tell you how he did. He had above and beyond the call of duty. He not only won a race. First of all, he did the right thing. Before he went and won, he came here. He drove all the way across this state to come to the Real Racing USA studios.
That's
to
right.
Fill in for you.
And he did a great job.
And he was rewarded by the racing gods the following week. Because
really?
He went out and smoked them.
Really?
Yeah, he won his race. Okay? So, I mean, that put him in the list. You know what I mean?
Well, there's two tracks there, Orlando and New Smyrna.
Yeah, well, you know, he races. I forget which one he races. I'm sure somebody will let us know, but I'm not sure which one he won this. I think it was at Orlando, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, at least he's made it into the finalist again. He was on my list last month. He stays on my list.
Yeah. Top shelf. Hey, you know, too, the Fast Mini Cups. Susan Ariyama, welcome back to Real or Inside Florida Racing here on Real Racing USA. You guys are going to Auburndale this week.
Yes, we are.
Part of the big Brown Spectacular that's going on.
Brown Motorsports Spectacular, Saturday night, Auburndale Speedway. Now, you guys have been doing pretty good this year with your winners and your car count, huh?
We have been doing fantastic. We haven't had less than 15 cars. We'll probably have 16, 17 going Saturday night. We've had 6 races and 5 winners.
Wow, I was just going to ask you if you had any multiple winners that could be thought of in our Drivers of the Month, but you just shot a hole in that.
Well, it's just the way that we have the car set up this year, it's more competitive. It's not the same old, you know, winner week after week. People get tired of seeing that. And it's just like Saturday night, we're doing the Nextel. Impound. What we're doing is we're going to let the cars qualify instead of...
The what impound? What are you talking about?
Now this sounds crazy. What? This sounds crazy, but But there's some. It sounds like there's some cheating going on.
No, there's not one of my drivers cheat because they're. Listen to me, Jack.
That's not Jack. That's Rob.
Listen to her, Jack. I'm sorry. I just listen. If there's five racers together, four of them are trying to cheat. Okay,
and one is succeeding.
One might succeed. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Susan.
All right. I'm used to it.
This was getting, we were being far too positive there. We had to throw some negativity into it.
Well, a lot of things that a lot of people don't understand is that, like, the mini cups are normally been set up, like, under MMRA rule. And we have
code names
on our cars. Where we've modified them, we've allowed bigger cams, we've allowed port and polish, we allow advanced timing.
On one of them little cars?
All things that make them cost more, but go ahead.
Cost more, but go faster.
Yes.
Anyway, we're impounding the cars Saturday night after the qualifying.
You're going to switch the motors around? You're going to switch the motors around when they're not looking?
No. We're going to let them go out and qualify instead of run heat. Then everyone is to bring their cars back to the pit area. We're impounding them. Nobody can touch nothing on their car.
Hmm.
Then they will go out for the feature, and may the best man win, or lady.
So, what are the kinds of things that you think they do to them, you know, after they race them as opposed to when they qualify?
Change gear, change tire,
okay.
Change setup. Well, we're not going to allow them to do that.
You're going to allow them to put air in the tires and fuel it up? That's it?
Just air in the tire and put gas in it.
Well, that sounds good. I mean, you know, to those ones that aren't trying to cheat, you know.
Who's leading your points? Who's leading your points in the fast mini cups?
Frank Fister, the number two Rusty Wallace Miller car.
Hmm, okay. You got some rookies?
This year I got a lot of rookies. In the pro division, I've got Don Huntington and Rick Klein and Flynn Anderson. There's a couple other. And then the juniors, I've got five juniors again. Brittany. We've got a new kid named Cody. And we've got another kid named Jacob. They're all rookies.
You got a bunch of them.
Susan, talk a little bit about how they did even these. Have you guys picked up the weight on them, or how did you even up the sport there?
They all have to weigh 700 pounds in the car. If they win two races straight in a row, then we add 10 pounds to the car.
Really?
For the next race.
Okay. And so if they don't win that next race, they can pull that weight off?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's not a bad deal. That's called the stinking up the show 10-pound weight.
Right. Well, we just, like I said, you know, when Rick raced, it was always this one driver. It was, I'll say his name, Doug Smith, you know, and it just people got sick and tired of seeing Doug Smith in the winter's.
Well, and you know, but in fairness, Susan, it's really I've seen that in another series. I remember there was a truck series. Rob, you might remember this. Remember there was a pro truck series before Bobby Deal had his thing really fired and going. They were super late model motors in them.
Yeah,
there was a guy named Bramlett or something like that.
Scott Bramlett.
Yeah, Scott. He won every race, and he didn't just win them. I mean, he was like smoke the field. And it was a great little series. It had some potential. But, man, it wasn't any fun because he literally won, I mean, every race. And,
right.
And it took away from the series. But you know what? On the other hand, it's got to be it's not his fault.
Right.
You know what I mean? The promoter's got to figure out a way to make it fair because you got to have multiple winners, obviously. But, you know, you can't really pick on the guy for...
Well, everybody needs a hope to win, or you're not going to create more cars in your class, okay? If everybody's watching and they go, well, nobody can beat the guy, There's no use in getting started in that. Everybody wants a chance to win.
So I mean, even Bonehead needs a chance to win.
That's right. That's right. I think they should start weighting down the other cars a little bit more.
Well, we tried to make it fair this year and competitive, and it just everybody's on the same playing field. And
that's cool.
You know, like we do, we see a lot of series or other things going on at the track where it is the same driver winning.
That's right.
And actually, we're quite proud that, like I said, 6 races, 5 different winners.
When's now after you got the big deal this weekend at Auburndale, the Brown Motorsports Spectacular, going to be giveaways for the kids and all kinds of stuff going on there. And of course, Dave Brown does a great job with that whole deal. What is your next race after that? Where are you go? When are you going out of Auburndale? When's your next race elsewhere besides up at Auburndale?
The 24th, we go to DeSoto Speedway.
Oh, the big track. John's going to put dirt on it, you know. You're going to have to get some dirt tires for that track.
Then we won't go.
No, he's only doing it at the bottom. He's not going to do that. Listen, how many cars you guys? I mean, cars you got in your class now?
We've got 15. Well, I have 21 registered.
Mm-hmm.
But there again, you've got the ones that broke their fingernail that week.
Has that been an issue?
Damn fingernails.
Yeah, you know.
You always got that 4 or 5 of them that's got the excuse. But like I said, we've got 21 registered drivers, but we are on an average of 15, 16 cars.
Yeah, I don't want to hear no excuse they can't afford the fuel. Can't afford the fuel!
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one thing that I can say that's to the biggest advantage of you guys' class increasing car counts, and that is that gas and tires and everything costs so much in all these heavier cars, you know, that you guys got kind of advantage. You could probably run on the same tires for a few weeks. Heck, you couldn't use more than a couple gallons of gas, right?
Well, Frank Fister, he has ran 3 years on the set that he's been running on.
three years?
On the tires?
On the tires, 3 years. And he finally broke down and bought him a set of tires, and he's won 2 races now since it.
Yeah, I doubt he's ever even changed a spark plug or anything, or a chain, you know. I mean, with all them, you know. So that's
He's done all that, but he's never...
That's pretty...
He's running on the same motor. It hasn't even been nothing done to it.
I think he's trying to show everybody that it's not... I don't win because of, replacing a bunch of stuff. I just win because I'm good.
Right, exactly.
All right.
And he is a veteran, and we do have several veterans. And
Jack's a veteran.
Yep. Yep.
I'm getting there.
Yeah, Rick's a veteran.
We're doing a lot of car shows this year and getting them promoted that way. And
Rick's working on his tan, I'm sure.
Yeah, right. Well, I keep beating him first place at these car bike shows, and he's getting really mad at me.
That's where you're going to run off to now. We're going to have to let you go, as a matter of fact, because we got a ton of guests coming on here tonight, including the driver of the month.
No problem.
Driver of the month.
Talk to you soon. Go get him this weekend, man. Have a good time.
All right. We'll see you Saturday.
Take it easy, Susan. Right.
Fast mini cups.
Fast mini cups. You know,
nice.
15 in their class. That's good, man. It's growing. And what do you think, man? Cheaper to run them? 3 years on a set of tires.
Tonight, we have another announcement coming. I just realized. Another major announcement coming.
Yeah.
Really? For real?
Besides the driver of the...
And then besides the announcement
of Billy being at Ocala?
Besides all that, we have another. Tonight we have Bobby Deal back on, and there's a reason he's coming. He's got a really, really, really cool announcement that a lot of people are going to find. He's going to open some eyes with this one.
All right, good. We're going to talk to him later.
Tim Bryant?
Yeah.
Remember, 3 weeks ago... We were talking about car counts at late models somewhere, and I said, well, they really got the late models going on at Five Flags. You said, why they have so many? I said, let's get Tim Bryant on, and he'll tell us why.
Yeah.
Tonight, he's going to tell us why.
Yes, good.
And we're going to find out why Blaze Martin is named Blaze Martin. He's going to be on TBRA, Sprint Car, rookie, one of the top, maybe the top rookie, but I think we'll have to clarify that. Blaze Martin's going to be with us from the TBRA. Wayne Jefferson is going to be with us. He won the very last Extreme ever, at least as of right now, the last Extreme Modified Series race.
Can we go through a little bit of racing reports and let's do a little bit of
Why don't you do that, talking man? About I'll take care of my nails.
Like Grossenbacher getting two consecutive wins in super late models there at Citrus. That's good. I like to hear about that. Citrus has some good racing that goes on. You know, when we spend time looking at all these results like we've been doing,
you learn a lot.
You really start to understand that who's got the car counts, who's got what going on, what drivers are where. Citrus even had figure eights.
Because one of the things we can't stress, you know, like a guy goes out and he wins like three races in a row. If he runs against six cars, it's not his fault, but he's not going to get the kind of recognition that somebody who goes and runs against 20 cars.
Well, that has a lot of pull in, say, like our
driver of the month kind of deal.
Yeah. I mean, when you got 10 people that all have three wins, you've got to kind of, you know, that's one of the things right there, car counts.
I'll tell you, once again, some of the news that happened this week, one of the biggest things happening in Florida right now, and we've said this before, but I'll tell you, it just keeps getting a little bigger every week, it seems. Ken Kenny's United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series continues to impress. I've been to four out of the five events, and it's amazing to watch this little thing grow. Up at North Florida Speedway, up there where Phil and Liz Guadagno are running the place, last year's Real Racing USA's pick for Promoter of the Year, they hosted the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. 40 cars showed up, and there was another big race up in Georgia. The National Late Model Series was racing up in Georgia a couple hours away, and they still were able to pull 40 cars for that event, Rob. And it was a great show. I mean, some hellacious racing going on. Ivan and Lloyd took the lead from
Williams.
From Williams right there in the last couple of laps. I mean, it was. And then Brown, man, in the double zero. I mean, these guys were going at it. Let me tell you. Now it started off a little rugged because in the first lap of the first heat race or the first B main, it took four tries to get the first lap done. It was rugged.
Sounds like some excitement.
Yeah, but then after that, it just became a very, very cool event. USA International Speedway, 51 cars showed up. Late models, super late models for the ASA asphalt tour, Southeast Asphalt Tour. And
you know, you jumped right past Sean Smith finishing 17th. I wanted to bring that up.
Well, then that's his number, so that's...
Yeah, he just couldn't get up to the front. And did he have problems again?
Yeah, he was... Well, he was struggling a bit, and he was in a much better humor.
Justin, he didn't realize how many cameras were out there, I think, until they found himself on YouTube.
Justin Choquette was the hard charger, and he put on a pretty good deal. He started at the rear of the field pretty much, and he had a good run.
Ivanette Lloyd, Shane Williams, Russell Brown, Wayne Shugart, and Johnny Collins.
We're going to have Wayne on. Wayne Shugart, who's... got to be in his 60s, I would imagine. If he's not, he's damn close to it. I don't know how old he is, but he's been around, that's for sure. We're going to have him on here in the next couple of weeks.
Speaking of late models and dirt, Travis Varnador wins his first late model feature of the season at East Bay.
That is the lead story on Carnac.com's Florida Stock Car Racing right now. Travis Varnador, first late model feature win.
You know, holding off guys like Bobby Alexander Sr., he's no slouch. Steve Miller.
Yeah.
Sound like it was a good race, and those guys ran nose to tail, and... sounds like they had a good time. David Smosh was even leading at one time, and he was sent to the rear for a little bit of contact. But you know how that goes.
Now, tomorrow night, doing so much about Lakeland, the whole deal tonight, is tomorrow night we're going to be talking late models a lot tomorrow night. The late model, the motor, whole motor deal on the Real Racing.
Oh, yeah.
Real Racing USA deal. As a matter of fact, we might dial your number tomorrow night and get you involved in that. But Timmy Russell... was able to get that win from Jeff Choquette. But you know, they up at the Cope Stables up in Bronson, they figure they won the crate race. because Travis Cope came in third in that race. Now, 51 cars show up. Travis Cope ends up third place. He qualified third, finished third, and he had a crate motor. They gambled. I don't know if it was a gamble, but they took the crate motor because of the weight break. They thought they would be able to do that was from Tommy Dunsford, who gave us that information late today.
So there you have it. I mean, the crate motors.
Third at Lakeland.
In a super late model race.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're obviously not the same crate motors that they're running on the dirt cars. Right out of the crate. Nothing done to them. Oh, you don't even need to go there. I'm not saying anybody's cheating. I'm just saying
I just don't know.
The rules that I think that they have. I wish we could get down to it and figure it out, because from what we see of all these guys going to dirt racing, okay, they're going to dirt racing, and most of them are running these, you know, crate motors that cost, what, $5,800 or something?
I'll tell you somebody we can ask a little bit of question about that, too.
Yeah, who?
Is later tonight when we have Tim Bryan on. Let's take a break.
Yeah, we could take a break. On going out, I wanted to say for the last extreme modified race that Wayne Jefferson won that, Kurt Jett was second. Robbie Cooper.
Yep.
Was third. I heard those guys had a great race, and it was really good time. You know, it's too bad there was only 13 of those guys there.
Is that 13 or 14, something
yeah,
like that.
And it's too bad that they're not going to continue to run. But we'll talk to Wayne Jefferson a little bit later about that. Folks, we need to take a break. You're listening to Inside Florida Racing with Bonehead and Jack.
CarNet.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNet.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNet.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNet gets it done.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. Don't miss your chance to be a part of auto racing history. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series offers fast and exciting dirt late model racing throughout Florida, Georgia, and Alabama in 2008. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series is coming to a track near you soon. Check it out. UnitedDirtLateModels.com. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Sponsored by Central Mobile Homes Incorporated and Central Sheds and Trailers. Homes of America.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, Short Track Asphalt, Short Track Dirt, huh? USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today. 5starbodies.com.
Ooh. Okay, you're back with Inside Florida Racing, Bonehead and Jack. And on the line, we have the man who knows everything. Bobby Deal, what's up?
First of all, I don't know if I know everything. Are you racing this weekend?
No.
Oh, man.
He has a broken fingernail.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we're not going to rush this money pit that we've just put together. No, there's other reasons and other factors behind it. I actually have to work. Well, this week.
You're eating up your 5 minutes worried about whether Bone Man's going to come down and make.
Actually, I mean
Bonehead.
I mean Bonehead.
I knew it all, but I don't. Obviously, I thought he was racing. No, anyway, let me tell you, I had a pretty exciting day today. Wait a minute.
Turn that damn phone off.
The phone's ringing off the hook here. Hold it. You know, I can't stop it. What can I say?
What's the announcement?
Well, you know, first of all, Steve Doerr is probably one of the most competitive guys when it comes to late models or super late models or whatever. Okay?
He don't like to be sent to the rear. I know that.
Well, you know, we had spoken today, and he agrees that it's consistent that all the tracks can make bad calls.
Was he mad at you since that call?
No, not really. Not really.
He just wasn't coming back?
Well, actually, to tell you the truth, one of the most amazing things is to sit down and talk with him. You know, his family comes from a pretty rooted short track program as far as tracks and things like that up in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the whole family has been involved with short track racing for a long time. And this guy has taken the mentality of being a used car, you know, entrepreneur to the racing world. And, you know, he took race car engineering, which kind of fell off its pedestal as being one of the top things, and getting all the ashes and resurrecting the Phoenix, and has brought race car engineering pretty far up the ladder as far as a supply company.
He turned it totally 180 degrees around. He went out and he worked his ass off. He went to racetracks all over Florida every weekend. He still does, but he went, I mean, for 2 years, Bobby, this guy, I never seen anybody work so hard, man. And he did it not just here in Florida. He went to Georgia, and he really, really gave that whole business a whole new image.
Now, he's okay. You guys are talking like this is a eulogy.
He's great.
We're going to have a memorial race with him.
No, it was impressive what he did with that whole deal.
Oh, no, really. And, you know, the more time you spend with somebody, the more you get an opportunity to learn where they come from. But knowing I only have 5 minutes, I know Jack is counting.
You got 2.5.
Okay.
You're doing good. You're doing good, son.
Real quickly, Steve, I guess, is taking a hiatus from racing. And the way he put it today was, you know, in these times, it's pretty tough, but he is a very, I guess, driven race car person, and, you know, it's just not fun anymore. And it's not because of this call or that call or whatever, but, you know, he has come out, and the way the whole economy has gone, it's a slump everywhere, and it's just not enjoyable for him to come out and race. And, you know, I try very hard to go out and meet all the racers and make it a positive thing. And, you know, Steve went out and had a great race for sat on the pole, things like that, had a bad call, and it has nothing to do with that. But he has taken upon himself to try to resurrect something that's happening here in this industry, which is, in the economy the way it is, the hardest thing is to bring back the enthusiasm of the racetrack. And I sat down with him for what we thought was going to be a 30-minute meeting. 2.5 hours later, we're still picking each other's brains. I have to say, he's an amazing individual as far as a businessman, and I think you're going to see a lot of neat things happen. While we're on the phone...
So what is it? Tell us something.
Well, he's going to sponsor our Super Late Model Race this weekend. Sponsor, I guess, acknowledge type of thing. Set forth a goal that we want to bring back the excitement into racing in the South. You know, he sat there and talked to Joe Gibbs Racing. They're going to donate some stuff, products. They make great, I guess, the number one ASA crate motor oils to go, and they also make brake fluid, things like that. He is taking on the responsibility of resurrecting fun into short track racing.
He's basically, then what you're saying is he's going to be promoting some racing.
Well, not really a race. I asked him, I said, you know, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, and, you know, if you want to take it and run, go for it. Here's my racetrack, do it. He goes, no, you know, it's not about me wanting to be a promoter. And for the, it's really funny because Steve has about as much interest as making Steve's world as I do Bobby's world. I mean, we all love this sport we have. And it's not about us or you know, the egos. It's more or less making the sport work. And he's really, really on the ball about wanting to bring this thing back. I didn't realize how much knowledge he had of running a racetrack. And after spending the afternoon with him, he's got a lot of things that are going to be happening within the state of Florida. I mean, he already does Ken Kenny's program.
Is he going to be your race director?
No, he's not going to be my race director.
Oh, okay.
He does.
I'm trying to figure it out. I mean, that would be probably a good thing.
Oh, no, without a doubt. I mean, as far as a race director, I'd like to have him as a race promoter.
So he's going to help promote late model racing in Florida? We're trying to figure out what to deal.
He would be good at that.
We're trying to put it in a package here.
Okay. Package is, he has sat down with me and we talked about some of the ideas that he has. And without a doubt, they're really monumental type ideas to get people to enjoy the sport we have. So he's going to help me direct me. He doesn't have enough time in the day to do what he does anyway.
Yeah.
He's a very busy guy. But, you know, he wants to get involved with making the excitement back in motorsports.
It's a busy guy with a busier guy. Two busy guys.
Bobby Deal just hired himself a boss.
A busy guy.
Yeah, he now has a boss.
Actually, tell you the truth, if I were to want to have somebody come promote this thing, with the ideas that he gave me in just a couple hours today was amazing. And I've been to 8 years of those RPM workshops about how to do it. And I can tell you, after listening to it, from the knowledge he has from the business world and the racing world, hey, this guy ought to put on his own clinic.
Well, I've had those long conversations with Steve going back over the last 4 or 5 years, and there's no doubt he has a tremendous he's got a stockpile of ideas. We need to see them actually implemented. Hopefully he's going to work with you to implement some of those.
Well, let me tell you, some of them were scary from a school teacher that is trying to make this thing work and do a day-to-day type of deal. I can tell you, as far as if we have five more rainouts like we did last year, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. But it would not be very fun. It would definitely would be ugly.
Oh, come on, Bobby. You came in on the same ship that George Lucas came in on. Don't tell us that.
He's the guy that did the Paper Lion?
Star Wars, dude. Star Wars.
Oh, I thought he did Paper Lion.
He did Star Wars. It was a model. It was a model inside of his in a warehouse. See, that's right up your alley, man. You could do Star Wars right there.
Well,
you are doing
that back in the old days, but anyway, some of the stuff that Steve came up with was a little bit scary, out on the limb type of thing. You know what? If you want to do it, why don't you buy the racetrack and I'll watch you run it, and I'll find out if it's a good decision if you make it, and if you don't, it won't hurt me.
Okay, there is a path all the way around the bush that you've beat now,
and you have done it in 7 minutes.
Okay, I'm sorry. What was that question then?
What are some of the ideas?
Give
me one scary one.
Give one scary one, and we'll let you go.
Well, I mean, he came up with the idea. He said, you need to give it back to the racers. And we try to meet all the racers when they come in the door. But he said, you know what you do with every one of the entries I get? Maybe give them a chicken sandwich or a hamburger or something. And just that little bit of a, giving back to the racer would catch on.
Hey, Bobby, we got a good one for you here.
Have
Rob,
you heard?
Lay it on him, man.
That Putnam County Speedway is actually run by
the
racers.
The owner up there literally gave it back to the racers.
100 of them gathered, and they picked a driver in every class to represent them, and they are on their way to a, what did he call it? A democracy with a Nazi dictator named Mike Ditka.
Mike Budka.
Budka. No, that was really something. You didn't hear that last week, but that's what's going on there. But I know what you're saying about Steve, man. Steve's got a lot of great ideas, and he is a smart guy, and he's a smart businessman, and he is a good person for you to definitely spend some time with and take some advice from, and I hope that you use it.
Let me tell you what. In the closing moment, come take pictures of our winner's circle for the late model race. It'll be noteworthy.
Is your new scoreboard going to be up? I heard Pepsi is helping you out. Is that true?
Hey, I'll be there at 6 o'clock in the morning, banging the nails over, just trying to make it work.
All right, man. You better go get some rest so you can take care of that. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys, for being there.
There you go. Bobby Deal having the big race.
So what was the big announcement there?
I think that Steve Dorr has bought Charlotte County Motorsports Park.
That's
what I heard.
It sounded like that to me, too.
Race Car Engineering Motorsports Park.
And it's a competitive move against John Sapricone, who is turning his track into dirt so that he can compete head-on with East Bay Raceway.
Listen, if he even wants to compete with Bobby, he better get the band back together, okay?
The band?
Yeah, they better get the band back together, because not only is Bobby changing the whole atmosphere around there, there's no dull moment there, because when the cars stop going around the racetrack, they got a live band playing over there now. You know, you got the announcer during the race while the race is going on, and as soon as the cars stop moving, boom, the band kicks up. They had the Faster Pastor race going the other day. They were playing Stairway to Heaven. It was great.
They were not.
They should have been. They were playing some other rock and roll song, but they didn't realize that those were preachers out there. And I want to give a call out to the four guys that were there. They did a great job. And Gary Gray won again. Scott Borden was second. Jim Ammerman and Jeremy Fawn. Charlotte had a great night of racing there. The champ carts were there. Phil Harp won. Rusty Chansey was second. And my man Chad Dawkin, who I hadn't seen for years. With me and Bobby Deal, even way back in the day, Chad Dawkin was racing go-karts with us, and he raced late models with me, and he was back racing go-karts again, finishing third in that huge 21-cart field of champ carts at Charlotte the other night, which those guys really put on a great show. The Sportsman was a good race. I want to give a call out to the driver of the 91 car, Andrew Jackson. He was the show, okay? Tore his body off, still came back and won from, not won, but finished second. It was like a win for him.
Holy cow.
Who's on the phone?
I'll tell you what, we're going to go way, way up north Florida.
Let's go.
To the Panhandle.
Let's hit it.
Hey, Tim Bryant, promoter from Five Flags Speedway, man. How you doing tonight?
Hey, guys. How are you down there?
Doing great. How you guys doing?
Well, we're plugging away. It's Monday and it's beautiful. It only rains here on the weekends these days.
Well, we Rob and I have a very quiet night here at the studio because all the women left us this weekend and this week Monday night. So Cece Brooks is off and Carol Wicks isn't here tonight. So it's kind of quiet in here tonight, which we're just loving it.
Oh, know? Yeah, everything's just fine.
We're actually contemplating maybe stealing an idea from some of the tracks in the Midwest and planning a Tuesday night special sometime this summer because our weather up here, you guys say, is beautiful Monday through Thursday, and then, you know, it seems like it always wants to get cloudy or rainy on Friday and Saturday.
Isn't that true? It's like that down here, too.
It is.
It's like that everywhere in Florida.
It's crazy.
It is what it is, and, you know, we think it'll turn around. We've been hampered a little bit. I know we didn't have races scheduled this past weekend. As a matter of fact, on Saturday, we held the first annual Pensacola Country Fest at Five Flags Speedway. Randy Travis played, and Joe Nichols, and a variety of other country music acts. What was a great first time event for Five Flags Speedway.
That's
we
way cool.
Up with one of the local radio stations and put that event on. But wouldn't you know, it was a daytime event, and when the second song on the first act was. Going on while the bottom dropped out. We got a two-hour rain. But after that, we took a little bit of a delay, and it cleared up. It was a beautiful afternoon. A few thousand people enjoyed themselves.
Now imagine that. You go to a racetrack, and there's a rain delay for a concert.
Yeah.
Well,
you didn't have to dry the track off, at least.
We didn't have to dry the track. No, we did.
So, Tim, two or three weeks ago, you know, of course, Rob's a late model driver, and... a few weeks ago, we were talking. The guys were talking about some of the racing at the late model racing at some of the tracks in Florida, and I made the point about, you know, you guys have a great late model, you know, great late model program up there, and the Blizzard deal, and of course Snowball, it caps it all off. But you know, Rob says, so what do they do to get all the cars? I said, well, why don't we just get Tim on and let him tell us? So tell us how you get so many cars for that Blizzard deal and your late model race.
They just did another late model race the other day too and had a bunch of cars there.
We certainly don't have any secrets, and I mean, you know, I know that the ASA Southeast Asphalt Tour had a great car count down at Lakeland this weekend. I want to congratulate Tim Russell. He's a driver that we certainly wanted to see, you know, come to Five Flags. One of your guys down there that we haven't been able to see yet. Of course, Jeff Chiquette comes up fairly regularly and runs really good up here. Of course, Jeff's running good everywhere these days, but
nevertheless,
we aren't doing anything special. We we try to make, you know, a visit to Five Flag a good experience. That when they come to a super late model race, whether it's Five Flags or any other track, you know, one or two, three, four guys maybe are going to go home happy, and everybody else is going to be a little bit disappointed. I mean, the fact is, all of our racers are so competitive these days. I mean, most of the fields of cars you look at any special event, you know, just about everybody there is a contender. And, you know, so from that standpoint, you know, it's hard for everybody to go home happy. But, you know, we try, at least up until the time the green flag drops, make it as good of an experience as it can possibly be. We try to run an organized program and do things on schedule and let guys know what that schedule is and on time and all of that sort of stuff. You know, and again, I mean, we're not doing anything special. We have a racetrack guys like to race on. It's kind of a driver's track. And then the other thing is, of course, we're fortunate to have a signature event every, you know, December called the Snowball Derby, and guys come up and we have a couple of provisionals up for grabs. So if they finish high enough in the Blizzard point standings, they have a shot at that. Anybody in the top 10 in the standings actually has a shot at one of those two provisionals come Snowball time, and that's huge. Last year, Alabama driver Dale Little was 10th in the Blizzard standings, and you know, everybody else in the top 10 had already qualified via either on time or through a last chance qualifying race. So Dale wound up with a provisional by virtue of finishing 10th in the Blizzard point. So that's pretty big. Guys look at that. And plus, you know, even if they don't stay, you know, high enough in the point standings to have a shot at that, it gives them a chance to kind of hone their cars in for that late, you know, late year race.
Now, how many races do you guys have? I noticed, that's what I was saying before you came on there, is that I noticed that you guys had, like, a race just not long ago that is a qualifier, like, for that even down the road. Is that correct?
Well, as I say, our Blizzard Series is a five-race mini-series, as we call it. We have a separate, you know, point standings for it. We pay, you know, a points fund for that five-race series. And, you know, it's at the end of the fifth race, you know, we take our top 10 in points and starting at the top. And there's two provisional starting spots. And to be honest with you, that's probably bigger than the points fund. I mean, we have $10,000 on the line for those five races. And, you know, we spread that out amongst the top 10 drivers. But, you know, it's so big for those guys to go into Snowball Derby weekend knowing that they've got a guaranteed spot. They can, you know, during the snowball practice time on Thursday and Friday, they can work on race setups without having to, you know, make all these mock qualifying runs that are not only costly, but they're time-consuming. It takes away from practice time on race setup. So if you've got a guaranteed spot going into Derby weekend, why, it's really big, and it gives you a huge advantage going into that race.
So besides those five races up before that, is there any other big late model races that you guys run during the year?
Well, that's our only super late model races. The rest of the time we're running the pro late models. Of course, you know, that's not exclusively, but almost primarily crate motor cars. You can still run a built engine here with a two-barrel carburetor. And that level of racing has gotten so popular. I mean, we're doing pretty well with that. And, of course, the big thing is you know, all these developmental drivers are coming up through the pro late model ranks. So, you know, I got to tell you, on a normal Friday night, like we'll have this coming Friday, we run a 40-lap feature for those cars. And, you know, we'll get 15 to 18 of them on a typical night. There's been a few races where we've exceeded 20 for those 40-lap races, but for the most part, it's a 15, 18-car field, and those cars are so competitive, they've just been putting on great racing.
Right. You know, I saw Jack the other day on one of the Lucas Oil series that they're running their limited late models, or their late model class, not the super late models. They run on an 8-inch tire instead of a 10-inch tire, which I thought was kind of different and something that maybe be nice if the South would kind of think of, you know, to separate the two cars, because the cars are getting so exactly the same that I just thought that was interesting that they ran them on 8-inch tires.
Well, you know, that's not a bad idea, Rob. I mean, the other thing is the cars, you're right, they're actually identical. I mean, and there's some guys that'll swap motors and go from a pro late model to a super late model. It's strictly a difference in the engine package. And you mentioned something there. When we first started this division in our area 3 years ago, it was a little slow out of the box. But our fans kind of perceived those cars as what you just said, and that is a limited late model. And they're far from that. I mean, we try not to use that terminology. And, of course, the pro late model name is not anything we invented. I think it was a spinoff of the Southern All-Star Series where we picked up that title for that division.
Right.
But anyway, we try not to think of any. These cars are anything but limited, even though they have great engines. I mean, and to tell you the truth, a lot of these guys they're in pro late model racing, and that's, you know, they're looking to go from there, you know, to ARCA or you know, who knows where else. I mean, it's a stepping stone that some of them just skip the super late models altogether.
What do you think about that? You know, I was talking to we were trying to get some information, last minute information, about the motors that were run at Lakeland over the weekend, and I talked to some people from Cope's team, and Travis came in third, and they were joking about they won the crate race because he was running a crate motor there against Tim Russell and Choquette and the rest of those guys. Well, now, is that what your pro late models? A lot of those guys run those crate motors.
Yeah, it's like I say, not exclusively, but predominantly crate motors. We buy both Ford GM engines, and then the built engines are, you know, required to run a 350 CFM carburetor. But you know, that whole engine issue, especially in your part of Florida down there, has been a real sensitive issue because
you're kidding.
Not with us. Go ahead, say what you want.
goes without saying, we would love to have them guys up here racing. And, you know, the information that we've been provided right now shows, you know about the new sealed engine alliance, and you know, there's a couple of sealed engines out there that we've approved, and we have yet to approve that engine down there, the fast car engine, I believe, as you guys call it.
The sealed engine alliance. What is the sealed engine alliance?
Rob doesn't know about that deal yet.
There is a group of series and tours, track operators, and what have you. And it's kind of spearheaded by R.J. Scott, who was instrumental in getting the ABC Body program together. And that has been proven a success, I believe. It was one thing, if you go to a racetrack with it that has an ABC Body rule, and they've got the proper tools and the tech man knowledgeable enough to know what to tech. I mean, you know, all of the guys that were so creative, I guess, in getting advantages when it comes to downforce and stuff. And I mean, we always had two or three guys that come to the Snowball every year before the days of ABC Bodies. They would show up with something that nobody had even imagined before.
And most of the time, they didn't win. They didn't win most of the time. I myself, personally, my opinion about the ABC bodies and about all these other bodies, I race late models, and none of our tracks are big enough to make a difference, okay? Your track certainly is not big enough to make a difference. New Smyrna may be, Lakeland may be. But what it did was it hurt car counts when you started saying, okay, you had to have this body or you have to have this motor. That's just my opinion, because I've been affected by that, you know, because you put a body on your car that's not an ABC body, and then you're a guy that doesn't tear it up very often, and then look what happens. You're stuck to having to change the body on the car. And so I've had this lightning light body on my car the last couple of years, and I haven't tore it off. So I've just been staying away from the ABC only tracks.
Well, I mean, I certainly understand with what you're saying there, and I agree with you to a point. In our case, it actually did help car counts. And what sure. we did, I mean, this isn't anything that we just flipped the switch on. I mean, we phased these bodies in over 2 years. And, you know, the first year there was a 50-pound weight incentive to run these bodies, and then then we went another year and we brought the bodies back to the normal weight, or the cars back to the normal weight, and made for a 50-pound penalty if you didn't have one. So over a couple of year period, and you may be right, at a track like ours, it may or may not make a difference. I personally believe it does make a difference, and I think that's why you had all these innovators that would come to the bigger races. And it wasn't just here, they did it at Speed Weeks, and in our case they would wait till the Snowball Derby to come in with a modified nose piece, or or something like that, you know, left all the rest of the competitors scratching their heads. And, I mean, my hat's off to those guys because they could outthink everybody else. And some would argue that's part of the game. You know, let those guys be creative. Let's see some in bodies. And let me go on record as saying I love outlaw racing.
Right.
You know, those Iceman cars that they run in the Midwest, I think those are awesome. And, you know, Ben Atkinson out of Huntsville, Alabama, tried to start a series of those type cars. But, you know, I think most of the people were committed to super late model racing with the current rules. And, you know,
super late model racing is an outlaw class. If you have pro late models like they have now with these standardized motors and everything's pretty much the same. When you have the super late model class, the super late models have always been, even when they started, they were a lower car. They had them all swooped out, you know, and had all kinds of, you know, cool noses on them and stuff. And slowly they've just turned those around, you know. And if they kept a little bit more of the run what you brung in super late model racing, you would see a little bit cooler car, a car that's maybe a little bit lower, something that does look
innovation.
Different. Just to keep it separate from the other late model class. I mean, that's what you have now.
See that sometime down the road. I mean, racing tends to cycle.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
Because it was that way, you know, maybe a decade ago, and car counts kind of dwindled, and then we got into this, you know, this cycle that we're in now, as I call it, and when it runs its course, and it may very well do that, then we'll probably go back and loosen things up and let the innovators come back and, you know, try to change things again. One thing that we know about racing, you know, you just can't keep doing it the same year after year after year because the fans will get bored with it.
Yeah, so, that's
we're going to have to all stay creative to some degree.
That's a fact. Tomorrow night, Tim, we're going to have R.J. Scott is scheduled to be on Real Racing USA tomorrow night, our live show with Rick Angies and myself, and also one of the tech guys from the past series. And some of those guys, and talk about this motor thing again, because it keeps coming up. People send us emails, call about it. And, you know, I had to explain to RJ the other day on the telephone, we're talking, I said, you know, because even though Rick and I mean, we've done a lot of interviews with people about this stuff, and we're from South Florida, but, you know, we don't have a clue, and we don't have a horse in the race. We're just trying to get the information out and get all the sides heard, you know what I mean, so that people around the country can you know, can kind of get an overview of what's going on with it, because, quite frankly, most of the people I talk to are confused by the whole deal.
Well, I tell you, you know, here's the thing, and I'm sure RJ can elaborate on this a lot more tomorrow night, and I certainly won't steal his thunder, but there's a group that's not, you know, totally defined yet, but it's called the Sealed Engine Alliance Leaders. And, again, there's some racing series and some tracks that are key players in this, and of course they're hoping to recruit some more. They've got a couple of sealed engines approved, and it's by no way or means meant to replace guys' existing inventory of 9-to-1 engines. And you know, it's only an alternative, a cheaper alternative. We've got probably no less right now than between six and ten guys racing in our super late model events that are racing because they could spend $16,500 for an engine, but they couldn't spend $35,000 for an engine.
Right.
So, you know, and that's the whole thing. That's what it was meant to do. It certainly wasn't meant to obsolete anybody's $35,000 or $40,000 engine. There's no advantage to these sealed engines that are currently approved. And, you know, the thing is, it is limited, which is kind of a topic of discussion, to two engine builders currently. But, you know, I'd be willing to bet you that if, as time goes on, more and more people kind of catch on to this, that maybe some other engine builders can get in the game. In the meantime, those that aren't in the game can continue to build their 9-to-1s and probably continue to sell them, you know, as much as they ever did.
Yeah. Well, interesting, on another topic here, you know, I was looking at, in your super late model deal here, Joey Logano is like second in your points. Is that's accurate, right?
Well, bear in mind now, we've only had one race. It's 1 of 5.
Oh, okay. That was one out of the first. Okay, yeah.
Joey was running a Birmingham, Alabama-based car that belonged to Stanley Smith and, you know, run a beautiful race that night, came real close to winning it, finished second, He is scheduled to come back on May the 23rd.
That was what I was going to ask you.
I believe it's the day before, the weekend before, he's going to make his nationwide debut, and then that's probably the last we'll get to see of Joey Logano.
I'll tell you, we had
snowball. He really enjoyed racing down here, and he's a great kid. He's very personable, and I mean, he's got a bright future.
Yeah, well, we had our guys up at that were covering the ARCA race for us up in Rockingham. Oh boy, he took it, no doubt, man. That kid, that young man is special, isn't he?
Well, he really is, and I mean, leave it to somebody like Joe Gibbs to recognize some young talent. I don't know where that tip come from, but it was a good one, and as Tony Stewart decides it may be time to move on, they've certainly got somebody there capable of filling that seat.
Yeah, well, Do you feel that you guys, y'all race on Friday, so you don't ever run up against the NASCAR Saturday night, but do you think that does have an effect? I don't think we've ever asked you about that. Do you think it hurts the tracks when NASCAR runs on the Saturday night, or is it just another thing that no big deal?
Boy, I tell you, you guys ask some tough questions, you know that? that's a real topic of discussion, in asphalt racing, let me say this: we've got some dirt tracks in our area that
right.
aren't affected in the least bit that race on Saturday nights by NASCAR events on Saturday night. But I think on paved track racing, you're going to have some of your NASCAR fans that probably will stay home in front of the TV. I think it does have some effect on it. I certainly hope that NASCAR recognizes that and don't let too many of the tracks go to Saturday night under the lights, but. I think it would have a detrimental effect. And in some cases, when they run the Saturday night shows, they may have a nationwide race on Friday night, and it may have a little bit of an effect on us even. But, who's to say? I mean, I got to believe that NASCAR is smart enough to know they can't eliminate short tracks. I mean, if it wasn't for that, I mean, guys aren't going to go from carts to cup, I mean, they've got to have some proving grounds for
exactly. For
guys, and so that's what we're providing for them. And I don't know. I tell you, in our area, I think Florida probably has this. Maybe California as well. I don't know. But in Florida, and certainly in Northwest Florida, we've got so many things going on. I mean, we're a tourist destination.
Sure.
We had a Kid Rock concert last Friday night. We had three festivals in town this weekend. I mean, we've got tons of competition for entertainment.
Oh, it's tough in Florida. It's tough.
It really is. But, I think it's where we all have to talk about, guys hanging bodies on these super late models and get creative. We as track operators have got to get creative and figure out what it is we got to do to get these people out there.
You got to put a band out there during the stock car night. That's what Bobby Deal does at Charlotte County.
Well, I tell you, I talked with Bobby last week, and he seems like a great guy that's got a lot going on, and we've done some of that. As a matter of fact, this Friday night, we're having our annual Meet the Drivers night, where after qualifying, we bring all the cars in all of our divisions. It's usually 60 or 80 cars, and we park them all on the front straightaway. We open up the grandstand and let the fans get down on the front stretch for about 45 minutes, and we've been kind of coaching our drivers since the opening night, to prepare for this night, and they're going to have all kinds of things to hand out to them.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Frisbees and koozies and candy for the kids and all kinds of stuff, and it's really a good time. We're going to have a band playing in the background there and all that. Biggest thing is we got to let these people have a good time, because it's not financially rewarding enough. There's a few of them that have a chance, but for the most part, we're not going to make that many of them rich and famous, although we tell them that's our goal. We want them to be.
Yeah.
But bottom line is these people got to have some fun out there, whether they're racers or fans. They got to come out there and enjoy themselves.
Tim, as we talk to promoters around the country on these shows and various other things, doing interviews and whatnot, one of the most fascinating things to me has been, and there's exceptions to this, of course, but as a rule, when we ask that question about the Saturday night effect of NASCAR racing on the local short tracks, as a general rule, what we're hearing from the northern tracks is they are absolutely, I mean, they get downright emotional about it in a lot of cases. They're much more, angry. I mean, I guess would be a word in some cases. whereas the people in the South tend to take it a little more with a grain of salt, so to seem, you know, particularly in Florida, because I think you're right. Florida, just about everywhere, there is a ton of things competing for the entertainment dollar, and the racetrack is no different than anybody else.
Yeah, and the racetrack has no air conditioning.
Well, you know, let's say this in defense of NASCAR. We need them to be America's most popular sport. When NASCAR gets the, I hate to use this word, but it's no secret. There's some of those races on the NASCAR series that are boring. But
California,
when they go to the restrictor plate races and this past weekend, they had some fireworks, I guess you could call it, at Richmond. And I mean, the talk of our town is
some fireworks
right now.
Some fireworks. That's all you call it. they took Junior's win from him and they just let it happen.
I think when NASCAR racing, is going strong, I think it spills over to us on Friday nights and your Saturday nights.
Absolutely.
Sure it does.
Absolutely.
Sure it does.
Absolutely.
And, the girl, Danica Patrick, winning the other day in that motorsports, and the champ cars, that brings more people to the racetrack. People understand that there are women racing. Well, let's go see if there's girls racing, and they go.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we've got a 15-year-old high school sophomore female driver that runs in our pro late model division named Johanna Long, who has been racing for, she's probably got 8 or 10 races under her belt starting at the beginning of last season. But she had won a 100-lap race in Op, Alabama on the same weekend that Danica won in Japan. So, we kind of spun off of that story. And this weekend, as a matter of fact, we've got two mothers that we're doing a story on. It'll be up on our website, and it'll be in our local paper. We've got two mothers that are racing this weekend, and we're kind of honoring them for Mother's Day. This is not a gender favorable sport. I mean, they come from both sides, and I think that's pretty cool. I think Danica's done a lot for open wheel racing, and I promise you one thing: they're not wanting to lose her to NASCAR.
You're having a lot of fun at this, aren't you, Tim?
Well, I mean, you know what? It's challenging. I'm an ex-driver, and I hate to use the word ex because I never thought I was done until we started running this racetrack, and now there's just no time, and it'd probably be somewhat of a conflict anyway, even if I raced at other tracks. But I find this just as challenging, and I tell you, we're not, and I say, when I say we're, I mean my family and all of us that work at Five Flags, I mean, we got a lot of heart in it. We know that we're not going to get rich in this business, but I mean, our reward is when guys, leave and say they had a good time or, want to know when the next race is and call us. I mean, we've got entries coming in. I started to say pouring in, but, I don't want to exaggerate, but we've already got probably 30, 40 entries for a race at Pensacola in December.
Yeah.
We just take that as a compliment that people want to come race here, and that's kind of what motivates us to try so hard.
That's very cool, man. Tim Bryan from Five Flag Speedway, and thanks a lot, as always, for spending some time with us here on Real Racing USA. And we'll get back to you here pretty soon because we want to get some of your drivers on here in the next month or two and start getting some of these guys out and getting them known a little bit more, wider area. How about that?
That'd be great. I enjoy talking with you guys. Always want to invite you up to our part of the state.
Thanks a lot, Tim.
Take it easy, Tim. There you have it, Tim Bryant from Five Flag Speedway and, Snowball Derby, home of the Snowball Derby, the big race in December, where they usually have 100 cars, registered. And a challenging race course, not a real big racing track, abrasive surface. Tough on these guys with the big motors and everything that qualify real good to even win the Snowball Derby.
All right.
Tough for him. How many laps is the Snowball? 300?
I think so.
It's a lot.
Yeah. I tell you what, let's take another break here. We're going to come back. We still are going to talk to Blaze Martin from the TBRA tonight. I want to know why his name.
And remember, folks, this is the night that we are announcing our, we haven't forgot, our,
we're going to have our
jeweler's driver of the month.
We're actually going to have him on with us.
Oh, yes, we will have him on
with us. We got a boogie, man.
If you guys are paying attention, think about it. Think back. Inside Florida Racing. We'll be right back.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Every year you assemble your closest friends to prepare for another season in the knockdown, drag-out world of make-believe football.
Fourth and inches.
You were born with the one skill every manager needs to play fantasy football. Absolutely no skill playing real football.
Not so good at catching.
Imaginary catches. Imaginary touchdowns. Next up, an imaginary score with an imaginary woman.
Good imagination.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, O Swami of the sidelines. You may come in dead last, but you're always first with us.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. Don't miss your chance to be a part of auto racing history. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series offers fast and exciting dirt late model racing throughout Florida, Georgia, and Alabama in 2008. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series is coming to a track near you soon. Check it out. UnitedDirtLateModels.com. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Sponsored by Central Mobile Homes Incorporated and Central Sheds and Trailers. Homes America.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
I'm Racing Movie Man at USA Speedway, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
At Port City Racing, it's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, you'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners, drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web. View and shop online right from your race shop. PortCityRacing.com. That's PortCityRacing.com.
All right, folks, you're back with Inside Florida Racing with Bonehead and Jack Smith. And on the line, we've got the Rocket Man, Wayne Jefferson. What's up, Wayne?
How are you, guys? How you doing?
Well, just another night in paradise here, eight stories up.
Wayne, I'll tell you what, man. When I saw that, I was off racing, following some dirt racing this weekend. I couldn't get to Lakeland, but we had reporters and photographers over there. And, you know, when I got the news that they had decided to end that series, and then on top of the fact that you won it, I knew we wanted to talk to you because not only have you been racing pretty good of late, no surprise there, but I knew you'd have some comments on the whole deal. And first of all, congratulations on the win.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
But
why are the modifieds in such a disastrous point right now, Wayne? What do you think some answers might be? Because you've been racing in them so long.
And we know you won't pull any punches.
That's right.
I mean, everybody's got an answer, you know what I mean? But it's just a tough deal. I mean, the economy is probably the biggest answer, right on the top. But, you know, if we're going to start anywhere under that, it's going to be, you know, situations where these rules constantly changed over the past few years. We've been back and forth and up and down with it, and I don't know which ones were better. I know we had more car counts when we were doing the smaller motor stuff, but you know, it's just been a tough deal. I mean, these guys are the guys that run the modifieds are, you know, mostly blue collar guys. You know, there's 10 or 12 that can spend plenty in the class, and obviously those are the same ones that keep showing up to all these races. There's only 10 or 12. So, you know, it's just a tough deal. They need to start thinking about the guys that are working for a living that are in this class. That's the reason they're in this class, because super late models are for millionaires and limiteds are for anything next. And the modifieds are for more of a working type guy that can own a race car that's just as fast or, you know, of the same caliber. So it's just the expense of it is way more than it used to be based on where it was started from. And and it's just escalated from there. And now, you know, everything's about money, and no one has any, and it's just a tough deal. I think they need to start thinking about how to cut our expenses to show up. You know, maybe two tire rules, no tire rules, some sort of
leave your car at the racetrack.
Yeah. Some sort of ways to keep the expense down. You know, and somebody has to start somewhere for it to begin. And the way I see it is the tracks need to start, or promoters need to start, because obviously the drivers aren't showing up. So.
Right.
You can start making it where they can show up and let them know that, and then they'll start to show up. They're not, 25 of them aren't going to show up the first week you say it. Two are. But then they're going to get two more, and then there's going to be three more and five more, and next thing you know, you'll have your 25-car field steadily rolling in and out of there.
Well, it would slow the cars down a lot to really make them affordable, and I think that's a lot of big issue with these guys that you were talking about that can afford to bring these good modifieds with the big motors. If you made it cheaper, you know, the car less expensive, you know, maybe in motors or whatever, you're still going to be faced up with the same problems that everyone else has.
Right.
Wayne, do you ever get the opportunity to sit in the grandstands or sit, you know, be outside the track, not involved, watching modified racing?
I do it not too often, because usually if I can race, obviously I am if they're having one. But yeah, so it's hard for me to say. Yeah, you know, I don't really get a good outlook on what it looks like on the outside. You know, so
well,
I just know that it's a class that has a lot of good drivers that can't afford to be. You know, there is more drivers to me, I think, in a modified, talented drivers that have been further or whatever, and can. You know, they're really good drivers that could be doing something better, but they can't afford to be.
You know,
that's what that class brings, is good, talented drivers, you know, that are, you know, can't afford to be running around, you know, doing the super late models or anything else, ASA or whatever, you know.
I tell you, man, I talk to a lot of people about this and get their input, and I find a lot of fans agree with what my point of view on this. When I started going to races originally, you know, at DeSoto Speedway in the mid-90s, I guess, there was a pretty good class of modifieds.
Yeah.
And you remember that. And it was, as a fan, and I would take a lot of people to the track with me, it was one of we looked forward to that race every night, because that was one where the bad boys came out.
You know what that class was in the 90s? It was guys that were street stock racers.
That's right.
That just came out of the street stock class into the next class, which was you put this thing together and you put this motor in it and you take it out there and race it. And if you think some guy's motor's faster than yours, then you can buy his. Okay?
Right.
That's what started that class, and it made it very exciting, okay?
And
because the cars weren't that expensive.
Well,
and it kept the guy thinking that he was never out dollared, because he could just trick his way into getting one of them motors if he had to.
Yeah, they had a nine-inch Ford mirror in
it. And as a fan, it was extremely exciting. Now, as things progressed and I became involved in this whole deal from a media perspective, and we talked to people, we watched races all over, what I see is that the promoters are missing one of the – and I'm talking about the track promoters, track owners – are missing one of their absolute best tools to bring fans out and keep fans going, because these classes, it's the open wheels. It's scary compared to, like, I mean, they don't have fenders, you know, and it's almost like the sprints. I mean, for race fans, it's kind of almost like that, you know,
right.
But it doesn't have anywhere near the expense for the drivers or the promoters. You know what I'm saying?
It didn't.
The sprint cars got. And then those guys came along with the Gulf Coast Series. They put that three. Remember the three race deal that was put together?
Race deal.
Yeah.
And
we thought, didn't we think, okay, we're on the road to recovery here?
Yes, we did. And
Sarah ruined it.
There was 38 cars or 36 cars or something shows up at Bronson for the race. I mean,
this is 5-6 years ago.
Yep.
Yeah. It was amazing. And then, so now we've come down to, we're right back where, you know, okay, so there is no real
traveling series, I guess, now.
No, there doesn't. There's not one that exists at all now.
So. You know? So,
that's what happens, Steve, because it gets greedy. Everybody gets greedy, and then they had, you know, oh, my God, we got 38 cars showing up. You know, oh, man, I need this deal. You know, let me do this. Let me change that, blah, blah, blah. And then it just starts dwindling from there.
Yeah, let's keep them racing with us. Let's let them put this motor in there, and let's let them put this rear end in it, and let's let them run these shocks. And before long, you've got, you know, that's a big problem, you know. And I remember when you started racing those cars. I remember at Sunshine Speedway, guys that would get in those modifieds, and it was a very, very exciting class, okay?
Yep.
Even Willie Lacy got in one of those modifieds back in those days, right out of the street stock, okay, and went out there and raced. You had Luke Hill, remember when he first got in his car, you know, and Red was always there to try to ruin everything and buy the motors, you know?
Yep. My first modified I bought in 96, and I paid for a little roller, junker roller there for $3,000, and I put $800 into some parts that I had at my shop and completed a motor and put it in. I had like $3,800 in it, and then bought some tires and stuff, went to the racetrack, first race. That's how much I had in the first modified. You know, and now...
And there was a lot of guys that were the same way, just like what you said. And I think that made the class bigger because you could spend about the same money as we were spending on the street stocks. You remember the kind of money we'd put in those street stocks?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're right. That's what you said. That the guys could move up, and then guys that were struggling upward could move down and still be in something that was, you know, a race car. You know, still wedge bolts and springs and shocks. You know, so.
So now that you're one of the most powerful people in Florida with Jefferson Irwin Racing, you know, I know you're in stiff competition with some people, but I know you'll catch them. Now that you have the power. Maybe it's up to you, Wayne. You have to save it for us.
I know. Well, I just said the other day to my buddies, I said, you know, if I wanted to quit racing, I could probably make this modified class something, you know, to be watched. But unfortunately, you know, you can't be that person and be the person, you know, and be one of the top competitors in it. I don't feel that's fair. So I don't want to even get involved that way, really, even though I think that, you know, just the rapport that I could have with the drivers and over the years that I've earned, and I think that I could, you know, get them to follow me to do something, but it's just a matter of I'd have to quit racing for the most part in the class that I love the most, you know. So
these cars are so light, Jack, okay, that if there was a crate motor, this $5,000 crate motor, okay, in one of these modifieds, okay, it would still haul the mail out there on the racetrack. And listen, at the end of the race, you could just flip-flop them motors all around, okay? The guy that won the race, he's got to give his motor to the guy that finished last.
Well,
okay. Whatever you want to come out to.
Well, without all that, even, you know, the thing that the three tracks 6 years ago, Leroy Davidson, Bonnie and Frank Hill, and Mike Cope got together. They had a three-race deal, mm-hmm. three-race series over the course of the year, and they basically went and they tried to make it affordable. They got a lot of contingency prizes and things for the drivers.
Sponsors, yeah.
A lot of sponsorship. And they had huge car counts, like Wayne said, that ended up with the third race at Bronson. The next year, Gary, what was his name? Yeah, Gary.
Now
yeah, well, it'll come to me in a minute. Gary took it over, and thanks, Wayne. And he took it over and kind of managed it, and it turned into a series, brought Margie Nanny in, ran a couple of years. It was great. And then from there, it's been a downhill.
I think if the modifieds went back to their roots, if they got back to their roots, the class would grow, especially in this economy.
So what is it now? Is it going to take the track promoters, since there's no traveling series, is the answer to this the track promoters putting the pressure on them to build the classes, or is it...
Well, Rick, the guy that was running Extreme, he's not going to give up on the deal. He's still going to try to figure out what it's going to take to get cars to show up. So I'm sure that I talked to him after the race Saturday, and he told me a couple of times that, you know, he'll be getting into contact with me and a lot of the other guys there that were supporting the deal when he has something that he feels might work or some ideas that he thinks can get this thing turned around and maybe beginning of next year get something going again. He's not giving up it by no means. So he's going to be working at it, and I'll, you know, whatever, I'll be making contact with him here and there if he has some things he needs me for. But, you know, yeah, right now it's just going to put everything back in the track, you know, the weekly track owner's hands. You know, we all started trying to get each other to come to each other's tracks already, you know. I'm, like, trying to get Lee to come up and race, you know, and then Cooper's trying to get me to come up and race at Citrus. And, you know, all of us are just interacting, trying to get each other to, you know, we want to race with each other, you know, all the time. That's what we do. That's when we see each other, you know. So it's like a little family, you know, you get going in it. And then now it's all kind of broken up. So everybody kind of goes back to their little home and hangs out and races at their local track. And, you know, hopefully they're putting on some kind of show there, you know.
But the bottom line is we got to bring the price down, the cost down.
The cost has to come down for this particular class. It's just turning into too much of an expense. It's the same expense to show up for anything else. A super late model, yeah, they spend more, but they don't have to spend what they do. But the basic, the minimum a super late model would have to spend is basically the minimum a modified has to spend to show up.
Yeah.
Same rate.
What should a motor cost?
Well, the motor I got is still one of those, what was a Gulf Coast motor, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we probably got $10,000 in it, you know.
Yeah, but that's what's Simons and those guys got in their motors?
What's that?
What Simons and those kind of guys got in their motors?
There's some $30,000 motors.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely, they do. And some, you can build, you know, depending on the connections you got, this or that, whatever, you know, you can spend less and buy stuff used or whatever from other people and get a little cheaper price. But, yeah, basically that's where if you didn't have nothing and you wanted to get what they had, that's the kind of money you'd spend. You know, that's why I'm always driving somebody else's car, because...
Yeah, you showed up to the race the other night to watch it, didn't you?
Well, no, I had talked to Kevin earlier in the week, so we had a plan to be there on Friday. But, yeah, it didn't come about, you know, so late. But, I mean, you know, it's the same thing. That's why I'm always driving somebody else's car, because even the car owner I have, you know, just can't put that kind of money out to get that motor. I mean, we were working up towards it, and now we're back in limbo because we don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah.
You know, so... The motor that we have right now in the car is capable of running anywhere other than Lakeland, Lake City, and New Smyrna. So, obviously, now that there's not a series, we won't be making it to those tracks that often anyways. And, you know, we're fine for now until they figure out what they're going to do.
All right. Well,
you know, so, but it's just, you know, it's just, no matter what, you're going to make people unhappy, because there's people sitting around with little motors. They can't race, and they feel like they can't race. And then there's guys that got big money in their motors that are going to say they're going to be mad. They spent all that money, and now they got to go sell it or do something different with it. You know, and spend more money, basically.
Everybody just needs to run what they brung, bring it, and race it.
Well,
everybody has a good time.
Why they've gotten back to that was try to just the original modified 7 pounds of cubic inch, sprung, whatever. And they tried to get back to that, and still, you know, nothing changed much. So,
well, the economy is going to help that out, because you know what, Wayne? We'd have never thought 5 years ago that we'd be pumping gas into our vehicles we drive on the street that cost as much as the racing gas we're pumping in our race cars.
You're right.
So
you're
right. That's a big issue. And, you know, and $600 from George W. is not going to help us out, I don't think.
No, that ain't going to do nothing. He didn't do nothing but just have something to say, basically.
All right.
They think that's going back in the economy, and that's just going to pay people's bills.
Well, no, he changed his mind now and said that it's just going to help pay for some gas. All right, Wayne, we got to go. Listen, we got to get to this Pandora Jewelers Driver of the Month. Make sure you listen, because you know you are one of the finalists, and you never know. You might be the winner.
Hey, that'd be nice.
Keep us in form of what's going on there, Wayne, because we want modifieds brought back to Florida.
Yeah.
I will, and I appreciate it, and I definitely will, because when I'll get with you guys.
Don't go. I forgot all about it. Rob, we forgot all about it. June 29th, the second annual Sunshine Speedway Reunion,
yep.
And Jefferson Irwin Racing is one of the sponsors.
We'll be there.
Yeah, that's going
to
be awesome.
I'm going to make sure to be there this year, for sure.
All right, we'll have more on that later.
Yes, okay.
Yes, we'll get on that later. We'll have another show about that.
Thanks, Wayne.
All right, guys, thank you.
All right, the Rocket Man, there you go, winning the last extreme modified race ever to be held at USA Speedway, and that's a shame. And, you know, maybe we can get down to how to fix that class, but I think... going back to the roots of that class is going to definitely help the modifieds, and I think there's some thought that needs to go into there. And Simons and these other guys that like to put the kind of money in those cars, you know, any of these guys that want to spend thousands of dollars on a motor and a modified, put it in a late model and go late model racing, man. Late models could use the car counts. That way we can get all these other modifieds brought out and get them out there racing. Folks, we're going to do our Pandora Jewelers Inside Florida Racing Real Racing USA Driver of the Month. And this Driver of the Month is a culmination.
In a few minutes.
Yeah.
Not right now.
Oh, no.
No. No, as a matter of fact, right now what we're going to do.
I keep getting excited.
You get so excited. We're trying to buzz along here, but we have with us from the TBARA Wing Sprint Car Series, Blaze Martin. His first visit to Inside Florida Racing, Rob.
Blaze, how are you doing there, son?
Well, sir, thank you very much, and thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, now, Blaze, that's a good name for you because you've been blazing around the racetrack, that's for sure.
What did I tell you, Blaze? Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you this afternoon somebody would just jump all over that?
Yeah, man. Blaze Martin, you got two good names there, and I'd pick the Blaze out of the two.
So you're one of the leading rookies. You race are you the leading rookie right now?
Yes, sir. We're leading rookie point.
All right, in the TBRA series, and a lot of racing left, but you're in the lead. So tell us a little bit about your racing deal, man. How you get started and how you progress.
Well, I started in '95 racing go karts in South Georgia, and done that for a couple of years. Graduated high school and went to work for a major go-kart shop in Jacksonville. And we raced, good Lord, all up and down the East Coast and everywhere. Every time they said they were having a money race, or a state race or a points race, we loaded up and headed out.
Yeah, you and 300 other guys trying to get that money, right?
Yes, sir. We were all getting after it. And, it progressed from there. And then we got to watching these sprint cars and thought they were absolutely amazing. And actually, my father-in-law introduced me to them first, and we got a couple now and been doing really good.
Yeah. So now this is your had you raced at all in the TBRA before this year?
Last year I attempted to run three races. So I got a little bit of seat time and a couple of practices in, but this is my first full year.
What happened when you attempted last year?
Well, we had just mechanical problems.
I gotcha. So, I mean, how does this work? You're racing, I mean, did you race anything between go-karts and the sprint cars?
No, sir. Matter of fact, I still race in go-karts.
Okay, cool. So now you're doing go-karts, and one day you go pick up a sprint car, and now what do? You just go out to the track, do you go test it or something?
Yeah, we go as often as we can down to DeSoto on Thursdays and work on them quite a bit, and I still stay, I guess, racing, any kind of racing is basic, you know what I mean? We do the go-kart stuff and steady driving them, so you stay in shape, and just from one to the other, back and forth.
I'll tell you, Jack, you never get wore out like you will in a go-kart, okay? You go run your 50 laps on an oval racetrack in a go-kart, your head's going to be flopped over to the side, you know, you're going to be wore out, your arms are going to be wore out, so I think a lot of this kind of it was kind of a transition that is easier than one might think. Now, one thing that I think maybe have been easier for you, because he's talking about running a lot of national money races, Jack, with his go-karts, and talked about the 300 people that show up, and that was no exaggeration. That's one thing that was a little bit easier when you spent the money and got that sprint car, that you didn't have to deal with 300 anymore.
No, sir, you didn't have 300 entries, but the ones that are there are very tough.
Yeah, how tell us about that. What's the racing like, racing against these guys?
It's unbelievable. I mean, especially not so much the other people, but it's the acceleration the car has and the G-forces it pulls and the wheel spin and sliding off the corners. It's just a totally, totally different deal from a go-kart. So the actual transition from a go-kart to a race car is a lot to overcome.
Yeah, I'd had to do it, too, into a late model, and it would have been much better into a sprint car because I think that was the biggest deal is realizing how short your go-kart is as opposed to how long a car is, but you're still kind of short there in that sprint car, and man, having that horsepower, though, must really be something that's different.
You don't have time to think, do you?
No, you don't have much time to think about it. You got to just go.
Yeah.
So you're doing well. You haven't tore up many cars?
No, sir. I haven't taken a crash yet.
Well, that's good, you know, and that's the important thing is to keep that equipment under you because these races, they last like minutes, man. Minutes, and you've got to be every second you've got some guy right beside you. That's got to be tough.
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay, so Blaze, you're racing at DeSoto, high bank, fast place. You guys are racing a lot there this year, and you're going really fast. Have you figured out the whole deal? Do you do the wing adjustment while you're going down the straightaway?
No, so you can. I mean, but your biggest adjustment on a wing is actually when you're going through the corner.
Oh, okay.
It sounds odd, but it works off of the power steering. So whenever you turn the steering wheel, the fluid's flowing more, so you have to adjust it when you're in the corner, which is an obstacle in itself.
Now, where is it? Is there like some lever or something? How do you physically do this?
But you have a little lever right beside your on your left side.
So you're hanging onto the wheel with one hand. You got this other hand. You're fooling with this
lever. Little window crank over there.
You got a window crank. You're changing your deal, going 85, 90 miles an hour with Dave Steele on your right side there.
Yeah, that's in the corner.
Are you kidding me?
You are correct. That is correct.
And that was in the corner. That was a 95 in the corner. I bet you they do every bit of 130.
Blaze, why are you laughing, man?
Because you're right. It don't really sound that bad until you talk about it.
Yeah, until you see Jack over here actually doing it. If you had a visual of the whole thing, you would have really been laughing.
So
we've got to get Jack in one of those sprint cars.
Yeah, okay,
we've
right.
got to strap him in and turn him loose. Let me tell you what, Jack.
Sprint car, how about a go-kart?
That would be better. That would be better.
I think the sprint car would be better. Just to strap him in it and just push him around, not even start it up.
Yeah, you wouldn't even have to start it up. That'd be fine.
To most people that get strapped in a sprint car, they get claustrophobic because they're like, how can you race this thing, man?
Yeah.
The steering wheel straight up and down, just like the gas pedals. What's up?
There's not much room.
What's your best run thus far this year?
First race, Speed Weeks, was Inverness, and we had a third place finish there.
All right. That's a good way to get started early in the year.
Yes, sir. And fortunately, we've run four of the five races, and we've run top five every time.
And he's keeping it on three wheels. He's keeping it safe.
And who helps you with this car?
My crew chief is Lisa Prey, and I'm teammates with David Steele. When Todd Smith, his crew chief, and all of us guys work together.
Oh yeah, you guys, some good stuff going there.
Yes, sir. I have a great group around me.
That's
who's your sponsors?
Green Development Heat Racing.
Oh, what do they do?
Green Development.
Development Service and Heat Racing supplies, parts, and a lot of Simpson Racing products.
Is your car green?
No, sir. It is. Solid black as you can get it.
So how old are you, Blaze?
25.
So what do you do besides
race?
Well, I work for my father-in-law in the land development business, and at nights or days off, I do a lot of go-kart work.
Yeah. You work on other people's stuff?
Yes, sir. I work on other people's stuff, and I actually build the engines for them and work on tires and about everything there is to do with a go-kart.
Oh, yeah, you're one of the motor gurus that everybody comes to and flops that Briggs to you and makes you...
Yes, sir, I'm the one they blame when it don't go.
Is that what they run, Briggs?
Oh, dude, it's a big deal. You talk about guys.
What horsepower do they put in them things?
Let's see, our flathead stockers are probably 10 to 12 horsepower, and they have an overhead valve motor now that they've been working with for the last 3 years, and they're about 14.
Are they strictly for go-karts?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can bolt them on your lawnmower if you wanted to. But.
Well, I was going to say, I had my lawnmower blow up on me. I actually blew the motor up. No, this is no kidding. I blew the motor up in my lawnmower a few weeks ago. My buddy Jerry Gilbert is very involved, of course, with the NASGRASS lawnmower racing organization.
So he come mowed you in 2 minutes?
He come and he said, "I'll just come put you a new motor in." So he brings a new motor. Now it's a bigger one. He told me this after I called him up to thank him for my new motor, 18 horse motor in my lawnmower. Yeah. And he says, yeah, that was the motor I had in my, remember my orange? My orange racing mower? That's the motor that was in it. So,
tell Jack how much these guys will spend on a modified Briggs, you know, the bad boy class. How much one of them motors?
You can spend $10,000-$12,000 on one of them easy.
A go kart motor, Jack. Listen, when he was talking about those money races, listen, those money races for go karts, dude, that is the biggest. You couldn't imagine. You put up. You put up $5,000 for a go-kart race, and you'll have 1,000 go-kart racers there, and every one of them's cheating to the hilt. Every one of them. And there's guys just like him that are building the motors. What's the name of your motor? What do you call it?
Rampage Racing.
There you go, Rampage. Now, I've heard of Rampage before. That's you?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's something else there, because a lot of people run your motors on their cart. I see the stickers going down the road and everything.
Yeah, I had I owned a business. The guy that I was working for in Jacksonville, he moved and went to Indiana to pursue his late model racing, dirt late model. And so I was kind of left there. And I opened up my own business and called it Radical Racing Engine.
Mm-hmm.
And I met my father-in-law and my wife. And I moved down here and sold that and kind of started over and ended up with Rampage.
Well, that's very interesting. And we've got to get going. We've got to get this... Driver of the Year thing taken care of.
Well, guys, I sure appreciate you having me on the show.
I appreciate you coming on, Blaze, and just keep it up, stay safe, and I hope you get some wins this year.
Hey,
thank you very much.
Hey, Blaze, that wasn't so bad now, was it?
No, sir, not at all.
All right, man, we'll have you back on again. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
There you have it, Blaze Martin getting his radio cherry popped right here on Inside Florida Racing. That's right. He was a radio virgin worried about coming on the show, and he did a great job, just as he does out there on the racetrack. Blaze blazing around the racetrack and the TBARA. Like he said, having a good time, and he's been keeping it safe, not getting any wrecks. Now, let's get to the Pandora Jewelers Inside Florida Racing, Real Racing USA Driver of the Month. This Driver of the Month is something that was put together as a way to recognize drivers throughout the year. I myself have really think it's a great idea when Pandora stepped up and said, here, we're going to give you a year-end award. And we were able to get these monthly award plaques made for these guys. And at the end of the year, you know, we're going to have us a good time. And we'll banquet and we'll be giving away in January of 2009 a beautiful ring worth approximately $3,800. Yeah. And we had lots of finalists, okay, for this month. A lot of folks that won, girls and guys, that won three races in their respective class during the month. And when you sit and you start looking at all of them and start seeing, wow, you know, how are we going to pick these out? As we started to look at these drivers that we had, we realized that we had not only a three-time winner, okay, but... somebody who is racing in two different classes and winning in two different classes.
It's pretty good competition.
Yes, against very stout fields of cars. And our winner for April for the Pandora Jewelers Inside Florida Racing, Real Racing USA Driver of the Month for April of 2008 is Clint Foley. A sportsman / mini stock racer from Citrus County Speedway, and we have him on the phone with us. Clint, are you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Did you hear all that?
Did you just hear what he said?
Yes, I did. I was surprised to hear that.
That you are and have been recognized as the Driver of the Month. Now, Clint, are you excited?
Yes, very.
Now, tell me, how surprised are you that we're calling you for this? Did you have any idea that this was being cooked up?
No, not at all. I'm pretty gullible. They got me on Driver of the Year at Citrus County. I didn't realize they were doing that either. So,
well, talk to us a little bit about running these two classes that you're running and the amount of cars that are in these classes and the hardship for you to be able to actually win in both of them.
Well, I got the sportsman and the mini stock. I got I got a good crew. That's what makes it work. I got a good car owner that owns my Sportsman, keeps everything going. There's probably 15 cars in each class, and many stock have been dominant car. I got to start in the back every week. I make it through. Sportsman, we haven't even debuted our new car. We're hoping to debut it here in 2 weeks. So I'm hoping to be even faster in the Sportsman when we get back out.
Now, in this, you won two times with the Sportsman, and you got a fourth. One time you got a win and a fourth place finish all on the same night, right, with the rain and the makeout?
Yep.
Now, in the mini stocks, you had a win and you had two-thirds. Is that correct?
No, I got three wins, 2 seconds, and two-thirds.
Well, I meant for the month of April.
Oh, for the month of April?
Yeah. See, all this that you won this month?
Yeah, yeah.
It's all for your month, for what you've done this month. Yeah. And you, there was a lot of drivers that won three races. But when we really started looking at your stats and realized that you were running two different classes and winning in two different classes, and yes, you are doing very well. You're leading. Are you leading the points in either one of them?
I'm leading points in mini stock and fourth in Sportsman.
So you're doing very well, and for this, for your racing efforts, and I know you've been racing for a long time, and maybe don't get recognized as much as maybe you should as other drivers at these local racetracks, you know, at this local level. This award that we've given, Jeff Choquette has gotten it, you know, Shane Williams got it, you know, which are late model racers, dirt and asphalt. Jeff Firestein got it last month, which is a street stock driver at Charlotte County Speedway and at DeSoto. And in recognizing you as a sportsman driver and a mini stock driver at Citrus County Speedway, we recognize the fact that you're out there racing, working hard in this economy that we have, and we want to congratulate you as our Pandora Jewelers Inside Florida Racing, Real Racing USA Driver of the Month for April.
I really do appreciate it. And it's an honor just to be mentioned with all them names that are there.
Yes, and the good news is that you keep racing hard like you are, and we will keep noticing because for sure, once you've won this award for the month, we definitely keep a magnifying glass on you and the other drivers, because we will determine at the end of the year who our driver of the year is. And it may or may not come out of being one of you guys. Heck, you know, we never know. Somebody might stand out so good on that last month, we just give them the driver of the year, but I doubt it. So just keep working.
Yeah, man. And keep pumping out. Make sure you let people know when you're doing good. That's one thing we'd like to tell everybody, you know, all the drivers that – race car drivers, fans of race car drivers, mothers of race car drivers, friends of race car drivers, you know, go on their message boards or send out email. Let people know when you're, you know, your guy's doing good. And you just keep it up, man.
Now, we're going to send you a plaque. It'll take us a few weeks to get it made, to get your name and everything on it. And when you get the plaque, we'll make sure that you get plenty of stickers.
I appreciate that.
Real Racing USA stickers, and I want to make sure you get them on both of your vehicles, both your cars, all of your cars. And I'll make sure Jack sends you a handful of them so you can get them to some other cars out there and try to get the Real Racing USA colors out there. And now, you know what you could possibly win by being a finalist in this?
I was
or by
hearing you
winning?
Say that ring.
Yes, it is a beautiful ring that you can go on and see on the website if you click on the Pandora Jewelers.
It's on Real Racing USA.
Just go on there and check it out. It's got diamonds. It's gold. It's cool.
That's great.
All right, man. Congratulations.
Congratulations, and we will be in contact with you. And just keep racing hard out there, and go ahead and brag about the fact that you were the driver of the month. That's what I want you to do. I want you to put these stickers on your car when you get them and tell everybody right here. These guys at least recognize that I was better than the rest of you.
Absolutely. I love it.
All right, man.
All right. Take it easy, Clint Foley. Appreciate it, man.
I appreciate it, bud.
All right. There you have it. Our April 2008 Pandora Jewelers Inside Florida Racing Real Racing USA Driver of the Month.
Yeah, buddy.
And let me tell you, this was a tough one, and it's getting tougher and tougher. And like I said earlier in the show, it would be evident who the clear-cut winner is in this. And if you go through and you look at these finalists and you look at their stats and you look at Clint's stats, I think you'll see he did more racing than anyone else.
Well, and people, you know, again, reiterate, you know, hey, somebody that you know is or you got to promote yourself, promote your favorite drivers, let people know that what's going on.
Self-promotion, you gotta be newsworthy. You gotta make the news, man.
Gotta make the news, and not only that, it helps your sponsorship deal, man.
That's right. That's right. It can't hurt.
Helps pay the bill.
We forgot to ask him who his sponsors were, but we'll get him on again.
June the 29th, Sunday afternoon
reunion.
The second annual Sunshine Speedway reunion, presented by Real Racing USA, sponsored by the Quaker Steak and Lube. And, of course, Jefferson Irwin Racing, and I don't have all my other notes. There's a lot of other sponsors and people involved, and we'll get all that information out.
It's going to be bigger than last time.
So,
because I'm going to be there this time, so it'll be at least one person bigger.
That's right.
And I'm bigger than I was last.
Man, we just we talked to Billy Osborne tonight. We talked to Susan Ariyama from the Fast Mini Cups. Of course, Billy is going over to be the race director at Ocala on Friday nights now, in addition to his other gig over at Volusia.
Monster Trucks for me this weekend.
Yeah, Monster Trucks.
Monster Trucks on the 8th and the 9th at Arcadia Rodeo Arena. ETCPromotions.com. You can check it out. These are the real deal, man. Just like you see on TV.
That's right. And all of you folks who really like our shows and love what we're doing, send us an email to feedback at Real Racing USA. And you guys that think we suck,
tell us.
Send them to Rob. Yeah. Send them to Rob.
You can send them to me. I don't care.
Yeah, send the good stuff
B-O-N-H-E-A-D-I-A-M
to me.
B-O-N-H-E-A-D-I-A-M at AOL.com. It's boneheadiam at AOL.com. No E in bone, because believe it or not, somebody else had it. So I had to change the way I spelled it. But no, really, seriously, give us some feedback. You know, I can't express to you that we'll do the show about what you guys would like to hear, but we got to know what's on your mind. You're starting to let us know who your favorite drivers are during the month. We appreciate that. Carol Wicks, appreciate everything that you're doing out there for us every week. And hopefully, CC Brooks will be back with us next week on Inside Florida Racing. For Jack Smith, I'm Rob Elting, a.k.a. Bonehead. Same time next week. You really gonna have a ball when you do the St. Pete Boogie. You really gonna have a ball down the south side of town, yeah, in some hole in the wall. I got to do the St. Pete Boogie. I'm gonna jump until I fall. I've got to do the St. Pete Boogie. I'm gonna jump until I fall. Bar hopping and high topping. Hey Lord, can't you hear me call? Do this.